Our poor Lord must have been totally exhausted. Imagine, here in the gospel we hear of how all day he's been preaching. He has cured so many people, he's exorcised demons. Towards, we could say, the end of the day, he goes to Simon Peter's home. And even Peter asks him to cure his mother-in-law. Now, one could say, which is the greatest miracle? Jesus curing the mother-in-law or Peter asking for the mother-in-law to be cured? But just a funny... But be that as it may, our poor Lord then has the crowd waiting outside and he continues on. But we come to probably what I think is one of the most important verses of this gospel. It says, rising very early before dawn, he left and went off to a deserted place where he prayed. Jesus knew he had to pray, to take time to be alone with his heavenly Father in union with the Holy Spirit. Well, my brothers and sisters, you and I know we need to pray. I think about your lives. I know many of you each day work very long hours, probably more than 8 hours a day. And I know you commute, maybe having to go into Washington even and facing that occasion of sin we call Route 7. And I know many of you stay at home and you're managing a home, which is really like a little business. Then you have to turn into the Metro bus driver and drive the kids to all these different activities. Hearing from our young people in youth group, I hear of how they have so many academic pressures, plus they have different activities. There's other pressures for success and so on. I realize, too, that for the elderly, they face perhaps the infirmities of old age, which can be very wearisome. I think of my mom. She's 91 years old. She's has very poor vision due to macular degeneration. And she at times is just so frustrated and weary because she can't do what she used to do. So we can become very tired, very weary. We could even become like Job. Go to that first reading. And it's sort of very sad. Job says, isn't man's life a drudgery, that of a slave or a hireling? I've had months of misery and troubled nights. My days are without hope. I shall not see happiness again. How sad. Keep in mind, though, Job was a very faithful, holy man. And then God allowed him to be put to the test. And in one day, he lost everything. He lost his material possessions and his wealth. He lost his children. His own wife and friends turn against him. His wife even says, here you've been so good. Look what's happened. Why don't you curse God? Then he gets boils and so on. But Job never did. Job kept in touch with Almighty God and even said, if God gives good things, why should I not accept evil from him? The Lord gives, the Lord takes away. Praise be the name of the Lord. In the end, though, Job keeps faith, and Job recovers from all this, and God rewards him abundantly. So, my brothers and sisters, the key here is, given our lives, you and I know we need to take time to pray. But do we? Oftentimes, when I have a person come for counseling who's in a real difficulty, or a person in confession who's struggling with a sin, I'll always ask, do you take time to pray each day? I will get responses like, well, some days, or maybe a few prayers at night, or grace at meals, or simply no. So let's pause for a minute. We need to have a good strategy for prayer. So looking to Jesus, think of what he did. He got up early in the morning, and he went off to a deserted place. So first thing, find a good time for you. Maybe it is early in the morning. I know it is for me now. So before everything starts cranking in the day that's going to occupy our minds, find that good time. Maybe there is a time later in the day, but keep in mind, we'll have to settle down, clear our minds so that we could be in the presence of the Lord. But find that good 15, hopefully 30 minutes to be with Christ. Then find that quiet place. Now, here's a quiet place, God willing. in the rectory. Thank God, Father Farrell and I and the deacon, we have a nice little chapel to pray in. I've known some parishioners who have a room they've designated as a prayer room, set up like a little chapel, or there's even a special corner of a room that's like a little chapel. Find that quiet place. That's the key, to have a quiet place where we can sort of close off everything else and just focus on the Lord. And then pray. Don't be afraid of prayer. I think one of the easiest ways to pray is with our formal prayers, because they help us to pray. I particularly love the Lord's Prayer, the Our Father. I can use that as a nice little outline for prayer. So beginning, Our Father who art in heaven, then I can pause and think of all the blessings God has given to me. Prayer has to include some kind of a gratitude for all those gifts. When we pause and think about our lives, we are so blessed in so many ways. If we think of faith, health, family, friends, our home, material things, we are so blessed. Then we come to Thy will be done. We could ask ourselves, am I really living fully God's will for me? Given my vocation, am I the best priest that I should be? Or for you all, am I the best spouse? Pray for your spouse. Am I the best parent? Pray for your kids. This is important. Pray for others who are entrusted to your care. We come to give us this day our daily bread. So whatever we need, it could be something like material, like maybe we're having a financial problem. It could be a job opportunity. It could be that we need some spiritual help. Ask God. Pray for the needs of others, but rely on God's will. Then we come to forgive us our trespasses as we forgive others. So yes, we seek forgiveness for our sins, but we also need to forgive others. Here we can simply say something like, Lord, I forgive this person. Give me the grace to forgive this person. Go on from there. The devil always wants us to keep living in past hurts. We don't have to rehash it in our prayer. All we have to do is say, Lord, I forgive. Give me the grace to forgive. Then we come to deliver us from evil. Lead us not into temptation. Here again, we're asking God for the grace to be strong against temptation, particularly if there's a certain affliction that we're battling, and also to be aware of occasions of sin, all those forces of evil around us. A good way to pray. And each one of us can have our own way. Also, take time for some spiritual reading. So here, if you don't have that full, like, 30 minutes at once, maybe at bedtime, instead of staying up late and watching the news that's going to give you a bad night's sleep, or surfing the internet and wasting time with that, which could even be an occasion of sin, go to bed early and sit in bed and read a good spiritual book. I like to read a book each night, just a few pages, and also to read maybe a little part of the Bible. So work through one of the Gospels. Granted, we may start getting sleepy, that's okay, but I guarantee you, you'll have good thoughts during the night, and you'll have a good day waking up, too. So take that time. Now be on guard, because we all face the problems of distraction and dryness and even the delays in our answer. All of that could lead to discouragement. There's another weapon of the devil to discourage us from praying. So all of us will deal with distraction. I can tell you right now, sometimes I'm trying to concentrate so much on what I'm doing here at this altar, and a cell phone goes off. Or I look up and I say, I just changed that light bulb. It's burned out. It happens. You know, that's our human mind. But instead, we refocus. Granted, we may have to pause and think, well, is that distraction something worth considering? Like if the Lord does prompt us to pray about an issue, Or we could even say, like about the light bulb, well, guardian angel, remind me so I can tell facilities about the light bulb. But that works. So don't get discouraged by distractions. Just refocus and strive ahead. We go through dry periods, too. It'd be wonderful if every time we prayed, we had those nice, warm, cushy feelings of the presence of God. At times we don't. Job didn't. But what is God doing? He's making us pray harder. He's strengthening us. He's stretching us. Eventually, those good little feelings come back, but with stronger faith. That's the key. So don't let the dryness discourage you either. And then, if there's a delay in the response, don't get discouraged. God always hears our prayers, but we have to remember, God is God. God loves us. So God will answer our prayers, but with the best answer, and with the one that's right for us when we're ready. There's the key. Sometimes we will not receive the answer we want when we want it, but the answer we do receive when we get it will be the best. So take all of this to heart. This is so important in our own lives. So prayer unites us with our Lord. Prayer strengthens us. Prayer gives us that hope that we need to live through life. And with that, through prayer, life becomes worth living. May God bless you.